listening to Citizen Reporter at citizenreporter.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another program. Could be a Citizen Reporter, could be a realities podcast, could be both. Regardless, we're here at the table, the kitchen table in Amsterdam, where many a good conversation have taken place. And with me to my right, if you're looking at your phone device, player device, on the right side, there is one Joanna Ponder. Yeah, and I'm on the left. I used to listen to a lot of sports on the radio. Uh-huh. I still do, actually. Yeah. And then the announcers, if it was like basketball, they would say, going from left to right on your radio, the Knicks are, whatever, taking the ball down the court. And I would always look at my radio like, okay, got it. Okay,
got it. Yeah. Wait, so why do they have to look at their phone display? Is there like a picture
it's
of the
new
setup?
Radio?
because it's like context.
Like,
sure.
On the right, so the phone is the table?
Yeah,
I don't know. Okay. I guess things really have changed. But I like to think that we're not that far from those days. And now you don't have to look at your radio anymore.
No.
But you do have
a
device.
But you do have to look at your phone.
Yeah. And I do have photos there. So maybe we'll do a selfie before we leave here.
Yeah, like sure. That. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be album art.
There you go.
Joanna, thanks for coming to my home.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, you've been here before for a guest spot on a... certain Game of Thrones podcast.
Was that what it was?
I think that's what it was. I think was that's that what it was.
Was? Or, I don't think so. Because I'm pretty sure I have said I would never speak publicly about Game of Thrones.
I think then it was a live podcast on a sub. That was my reality series then.
Mm.
Maybe we were talking about improv.
Yeah,
I don't
that's possible.
Know.
I was here with Ariel. I remember that.
Yeah. That happened. But it's nice to have you just on your own. And that was my sort of request. Because
don't bring anybody.
don't ruin this by bringing a friend and having a third micer. I want to introduce you a little bit to the audience. And then I want to talk about things that you're passionate about and that I know. I don't know if we've gotten to talk about even offline.
Okay.
But we'll do it online. So you live here in Amsterdam.
I do.
That is in many ways how we know each other.
Yeah.
You have projects in your life that you that you care a lot about.
Yeah.
Me too.
I do.
That's our starting point.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. I mean, when people say, and it's impossible, but if you go to a party and they say like, oh, so what do you do? First of all, if I were you, I'd leave the party.
Yeah. Well, I hate answering that question.
But it is this whole question of like, I had this series where I would ask people, give me a sentence where you say, my name is Mark Fonseca Rendeiro, and so I would say, and I make podcasts, which is one
thing,
15th of what I do, or one tenth. Yeah. But I don't know. Or maybe it's like, what do you like to do? So they're like, and I play frisbee.
Right.
But, I don't know. What's yours?
What is mine?
Lately.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really don't like it when people say like, oh, what do you do
what
for
do you
work?
Do? Oh,
or I'm like, oh, God, I don't even know what I do for work, to be honest. Indeed, one of the projects that I really enjoy is at the moment is teaching improv. I really like.
Yeah.
I really, really love doing that.
So a lot of your days, when you're not teaching in practice, you're thinking about it.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did all this get started? I mean, I know that you're part of improv groups.
Yes, improv groups, yeah.
I know Easy Laughs.
Yes.
Here in Amsterdam. I think I remember when you started with them.
Yeah.
Or I made that up in my head.
Maybe. No. I'm part of several groups. But it all started 6 years ago when I had just gotten out of a nasty relationship. and I was actually on the brink of leaving Amsterdam. But I thought theater was something that I used to do when I was younger, back in high school and stuff, and it was something I really, really liked to do. And when I graduated, I wanted to study theater. That was like my dream. But my dad said, no, not going to happen.
Because of the whole you have to be a doctor thing.
Well,
it's all about the job.
Yeah, well, I think he wanted me to just go into business like him. So yeah, like there's just no money there, basically, the thing, right? Yeah. However, for some reason, he did let me study photography in New York. So that's, I don't know, I guess he thought there was more money there. Mm. yeah, but so I kind of put that idea, like I hit it really deep, you know?
Yeah.
And 10 years later, when I had that breakup and I was like ready to leave, it sort of started bubbling back because I was looking for things like, oh, what were things that I really liked to do? And theater was one of them. So I Googled English, theater, Amsterdam. And Easy Laughs was one of the first things that popped up.
Right.
And they had like, they had a class starting that Saturday. Maybe it was like a Monday or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I immediately messaged them and I said, can I still join this class? And someone wrote me back and said, you can, but you could also just take some of the workshops that are on Sundays and you don't have to commit to anything. And I'm like, no, I have to do this now. Like it was such a strong, like I knew that I had to do this now. And if I didn't do a class that was like going to commit me for 8 weeks, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't do it at all. So that's how I started. I took a level one with Easy Laughs. And then after that first class, I realized, oh my God, this is so much fun.
Yeah.
I love this.
There are those who can take a class, enjoy, yeah. perform.
Yeah.
And then there are those who take a class, enjoy, perform, and go, I could teach this.
Mm.
You have become one who says, yeah. I can also teach this.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Yeah. So teaching started, I think I've been teaching now for 2 years. Yeah. How did that start?
I mean, at some point, you know so much and yeah. you have experience that you're, I think, that yeah. has something to do with it.
So, yeah, I had a group approach me and say, do you want to direct us in a theater thing? So I also study theater now. Since all of this, I've also studied theater. So I did my dream.
Yeah.
And I said, I can. But actually, I would rather focus more on the improv because that's what I'm focused on more in my life right now. And so what we did is we combined scripted theater with improv.
Yep.
And that was like my first teaching gig was sort of doing that with a group that I think had just posted in a Facebook group. And someone tagged me and said, maybe this is for you. And that's kind of how I rolled into teaching. Hmm. And that was a really great experience because I learned that I actually enjoy teaching.
Yeah. And even with teaching and in the context of like an Easy Laughs or improv classes, yeah. what's also interesting to me is that there are groups that have now approached you over yeah. the years that are not working on becoming a improv group.
Yeah.
They're companies.
Yeah. Yes.
Organizations.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always found that to be not unique, but something very Netherlands, in fact. Maybe because I've been here so long, but that the companies and organizations in the Netherlands will spend part of their budget on, let's do something that has nothing to do with our business. Or I say nothing. you can correct me on that. But
yeah.
It's not our goal, right? We're a group of people that sell hats.
Sure.
But next
let's
month,
do an improv yeah. workshop. Yeah, no, but I do think, I mean... obviously, it's my job and I have to sell it. But I do think there's a lot of value in doing something like that. Or like going sheep herding together. You know, it's all about teamwork and team building. And
sounds really good.
Yeah. The reason I say that is because I once gave a workshop to a corporate company and they had hired out like this castle somewhere. But there was another company there as well doing their
sheep herding
workshop, and I just thought that was so funny. So there's a lot of value there because you really learn how to work together and you're kind of taken out of your comfort zone,
right,
as a team.
Team building,
yeah,
get to know each other in yeah. a way that you don't in the actual office. I mean, in the end, it's not a Netherlands concept. I'm sure there are Americans listening going, oh, we did something
this
like that
all the time. Yeah.
But I always felt growing up in the US, I always felt like well, I was young, first of all, but still, I thought like, corporations in the U.S. are like, let's do the cheapest possible team building. Mm. But I guess it depends on the
company. Do have a lot of budget, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. But so that's a wonderful thing to know that organizations are open to that.
Yeah. And it's really fun. I love it when an organization approaches me and instead of just asking for like, oh, can you just give us a team building workshop? They really allow me to be more creative about it. So I love it. I've had companies approach me and say like, can you work with our company values? And how can we explore our values in a more playful way? And I'm like, now you're speaking to me.
Okay.
Because that means I get to be creative as well, right?
Yeah.
I have a team building workshop. Like, I'm ready to go. I don't need to prepare for that. It's done.
Yeah.
So, you know, hire me. I'm there in an hour.
Standard.
I can do it.
Standard.
Yeah, standard. Yeah. But like when I have to think about like their values and like how we can playfully explore that, that's like, okay, now I get to do something creative myself as
right.
well.
Because then you have to study something that is.
Yeah, that's not my, like it puts me out of my comfort zone in a way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And one thing I did not know until I started taking a deeper dive into your online presence is that you also do coaching. And I hear people, I hear from people who either go to a coach in this town or some who become coaches. And it's often, of course, a friend of mine who I never thought could or was going to, or I never realized that coaching was a thing for them.
So you've never been to a coach?
No.
Ooh, I highly recommend it.
Okay. Because at some point among my friends, like with like career choices and personal life, there was a sort of group discussion, do we go to therapists or do we go to coaches?
So I've been to both.
They're not the same thing.
They're not the same thing.
I chose one road.
Therapist?
Yes.
How would that work out for you?
She's never told me how to get a job. It's okay, but it always leaves you curious to what's going on the other side.
Yeah.
If it's not really opposite sides of a thing. Yeah. But I do know it's also because budgets are limited, right? So people are like, if I'm going to do one thing, you know, maybe I'll solve this career crisis of mine or my, it's not even career crisis. It's, I don't know what I want to do or what I am good at, honestly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I almost said in this town, but I've heard from every
it's
corner
everywhere.
Of the world.
Yeah.
It's an odd thing about our, where we are in much of the world. Like we've managed that part, I guess our parents managed that part of the kids are going to go to school and get an education, however, whatever level you get to.
Yeah.
And they're going to have more choice to do a job that they like.
Well, I think that's the problem is that there's so much choice. Yeah. And we're told that we can basically do anything we want. I think that's my problem. I don't know if that's for you. I can only speak for myself, but I really do think that's my problem is like growing up, I was told I can be anything I want to be.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I want to be so many things.
Not only that, as you get older, that was just speaking directly from the heart.
Yeah.
You think of, you compare what you thought 10, 20, maybe even 30 years ago. Mm. And then if you're, to some extent, like I had a different idea of what I would be.
Yeah.
Or where I would be.
Yeah.
In terms of success. And what is success even? So then when I get here, like I'm approaching 40.
Yeah.
And I always thought certain things, like I had a little checklist for 40. And now you get there and you're like, wow, you know, life happened and it's been fun. But I also go like, I didn't do that thing that I said I would do. My novel. I never wrote my novel.
You still have time.
Yeah, I hear. I've heard. So I think that's why a lot of people also are like, you know what? I'm gonna talk to someone who can give me some perspective beyond my dear friends.
Yeah.
Who can also maybe help.
Oh, yeah. I think... Yeah. Well, so I've had both. I've had a therapist or a psychologist and a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
And both had their pros and no cons from either, I think. But I do feel like the life coach empowered me way more than a psychologist did.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Empowering meaning you suddenly realized you could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Join us flexing your muscles. It's fine. You're not the first one to do that in this room.
Yeah, I think the life coach made me feel stronger in my own...
If you're feeling stronger in your own, let's say, resolve...
Convictions.
Convictions. Ooh.
There we go.
Yeah.
Is that, that's the word.
Convictions.
Yeah, convictions.
Perfect cut sequence there.
There you go. Whereas with the psychologist, it was a lot of like, I really liked my psychologist. He was great. And the only reason we stopped was because he retired and he's like, I can recommend someone else if you want. I was like, no, I just want you. But I do feel like looking back on it, it was a lot of like sort of blaming other people in my life. So like, oh, the reason you're like this is because like your dad wasn't around enough or your, you know, shit okay. like that.
Yeah.
Can I say?
Absolutely. Okay. Shit. other toilet words.
And with the life coach, it was really more like, okay, let's focus on now and what you want and how we're going to achieve it.
Yep.
And it has nothing to, like, yeah, okay, fine. You've been through this shit. And yes, we should honor that. Sure. But you don't have to like stay there. And I think that was just more my thing.
Positivity coach. I mean, yeah. And that seems like your choice there.
Yeah.
Is why that choice? Like, there's a negativity coach out there?
No, I hope not. Oh my gosh. I think we are all very, very good at being negative ourselves. So it seems to be a very like baseline for us, which is crazy because it's just as easy to think a negative thought as it is to think a positive thought. Like it takes just as much energy, right?
Yeah.
Like in the brain. Yeah.
We seem to go from one to the other.
Yeah.
In relatively short spans of time.
Yeah. It's just what I have found for myself is, and it's, I'm not saying I figured it all out. Please, 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 nobody think that. It's always a process, right? And what I have found in my process is that the more I focus on the positive and the more I pivot myself into the positive thoughts, let's say, whenever I feel like I'm spiraling into a negative, the happier I am, which is crazy. Who would have thought? Like, if you think positive thoughts, you'll feel happier. But it's true.
Yeah. Of course, I think anyone who has reflected on this topic will understand you.
Mm-hmm.
What becomes difficult, and actually this blends perfectly into something I also very much wanted to talk to you about, is that we live in a world where it gets confusing. I find it confusing between positivity that is genuine.
Right.
And positivity that is, I'll use the word manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes towards online as well as offline. We've always had the offline stuff. Now we also have this world of showing that you're doing great.
Yeah. Okay.
Above all. Yes. Above all. Showing that you're doing great. So that's the hard part, I find. Like, how to bring people towards, yes, positivity, which does have these positive results and kind of contagious in a way. And then not, and steering them away from, I'll call it just being fake, although that's really complicated also.
No, yeah, let's call it being fake. Yeah. I understand what you mean. So, about like the online aspect of it, this is something that I struggled with as well. Instagram for me has, I've had a love-hate relationship with it.
Exactly where I want to get to,
And I've taken breaks from it because there were moments when it would affect me negatively because I would see other people's lives and I would see like, oh, they're so happy and all of this, like, all, it's all so great, so great, so great.
Yeah.
And it would make me feel like, oh, I'm not doing good enough. I'm not enough. I'm not there yet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Comparisons.
Comparison. Yeah, exactly. So I took a break and I was off of Instagram for like 3 months, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I didn't miss it at all.
Yeah.
But with my work and the fact that I do want to get clients and, you know, all that kind of stuff, I do think social media is a very strong marketing tool.
Yeah.
And for people to get to know you and see you if they don't see you on a daily basis, right? It's a nice window for your store, let's say, right? For the product.
Yeah.
So I knew that I had to somehow go back to it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, but I was like, I don't want to go back to Instagram doing the fake thing where I'm like, oh, everything is great. You should work with me. Everything's great. No. Like, that's also not me.
Right.
And I think I've been very good at how I use Instagram now is that it's become a service. It's part of my service, mm-hmm. right? So everything I post there, it's not about me. It's about you. Like, how am I servicing you? That sounds really weird to say, right? But like, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different way of posting.
Yeah. I have watched, of course, and I keep up with your posts.
Yeah.
It was sort of a decision at some point. Like, you're a person who I thought, I don't know her as like a close friend, but as an acquaintance, I think I trust this person.
Yeah.
And I hope things go well.
Yeah.
And actually, your life's an adventure that I'll happily keep up with. Although I don't want to exaggerate the adventure part, right? The adventure could be going down the street and admiring a tree. You know, that's fine. You don't have to go far, although you're about to. I've watched and it was never one that I thought, this is just fake. No. But it did often seem like things are always going great for you.
Yes. Yeah. And did you not feel like a lot of times like, oh, this is really about her? Like her?
Sure. It was like confessionals.
Yeah.
So confessionals.
So like what would you get out of that, right?
I mean, you get to know a person in a way, the part they share with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were moments of, wow, you have a good life. And then sometimes it comes back to, do I have a good life? You know? But it wasn't a case of like, not in your in your example, but of course you and I have both, I think, other people that we have followed or admired for whatever reason. And sometimes that can be useful and inspiring. And sometimes it's like, oh, me, and I wish I could, or why didn't I, or da, da, da.
Yeah.
I've been watching, you know, you'll remember this quite well as a resident of this city. We're a few steps from, watch where I go with this, Museum Plein, right? Yeah. Museum Square. Is all the many of the museums of the city are there. So at some point, among other people, most tourists end up there, hopefully, because it's an interesting view.
I hope so.
View.
It's a nice, yeah.
And for years, there was a sign that made me furious, but also intrigued me to no end. It's the simplest thing. It's the I Amsterdam sign.
Okay.
I wish someone had done a study of the I Amsterdam sign. Maybe I should have. It's past tense because it's gone.
Is it?
It is. It was there for maybe 10 years. I heard it went north.
Oh.
It's like, it's a sign and it's migrating.
It's migrating.
Like, really, the rats got sick of it and they all got under it and it walked away.
Awesome.
I heard it went north, but I'll tell you what else I heard that is more significant to me. Well, first of all, the sign itself, and you would have seen this because all you had to do is walk by it any hour of the day, and I have walked by it all hours. And there'll be someone standing in front of I Amsterdam with a picture of the Rijksmuseum behind them as well. And they'll be standing on a letter.
Yeah.
They'll be taking a selfie, or maybe not. Someone will have a whole tripod and it'll be a whole setup and you got to stand on a letter. And what's intriguing to me is I often ask myself, what are they getting? Mm-hmm. What is this doing?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
You know, why?
Yeah.
It says Amsterdam. So one is, I mean, everything gets posted mostly, whether it's for the public or for just your family, it gets shared. So one is to say, I made it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever I said I would do in this life, whether it's a cool vacation or travel far, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it literally says the name of the city.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have done a landmark, right? In Paris, they'll do the Eiffel Tower and they'll say, I'm here. So part of it is to show others, and I'm sure part of it is to show yourself and say, I made it.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is I always thought this thing was a weird exercise in sort of narcissism. You know, I thought, walk around, you know, try, eat something, my inner Portuguese self. Eat something. you know, experience something as best you can. And I guess maybe this is an experience. when they removed it, I heard, I never read this, this is not a direct quote, that GroenLinks, the Green Left, yep. City Council, one of the parties involved in City Council, said they were removing it because it promoted a egocentricness or a, no, they didn't say egocentric, they said a individualism.
Wow.
That they found unhealthy.
Wow.
Yeah. The kind of attitude that they worried is actually not what the city wants or not what the communities want. I make it sound like some kind of leftist, well, they are, but...
That's really interesting, actually.
I loved it. I don't think anyone saw the text, and I'm misquoting it left and right. But I loved the idea that we've arrived at a point, maturity in terms of photos, travel, and tourism to some extent, and this thing, as innocent as it might seem, there's something to it about finding letters, and instead of taking a picture in front of the city, go find the sign that says, Paris. Hello, I'm in Paris.
I'm in Paris, yeah.
And the reason I bring this up is it's all about this idea of, I just find myself questioning all the time, what is real? What is an actual experience or a feeling?
Yeah.
And what is what we think, it's like imitation versus authenticity.
Right.
Although maybe everything is imitation anyway.
Yeah.
You
pose an interesting question. Because I was actually thinking about this a little bit this morning, because I've really started getting into the law of attraction as well. Do you know this? Okay. We're going into some woo-woo shit now.
I was hoping.
So the law of attraction states that at any point in time in your life, you are creating, right? And either you are creating and manifesting positive experiences or negative experiences based on what you are thinking, because that's how you create, is based on your thoughts.
Okay.
So they talk about if you want, they being a non-physical entity.
Okay.
They talk about how if you want to have a bigger house, a better life, more money, etc., you need to think of it in the moment right now as if you already have it, because then the energy and the vibration that you're sending out into the universe is one of already having, which means the universe can bring it towards you.
Oof.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're thinking of it this way, where it's like, I want to have more money, or I wish I had more money, or wouldn't it be nice if I had more money? Then you're thinking of it in terms of lack, because you're like, I don't have that money right now. I would like it in the future. That means it's never going to get to you, because it's always going to be in the future, right? You're always putting out the vibration of lack.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that this morning, because I'm like, in a way, I am thinking of a fake life, right? Because I'm going, oh, I would like to have $1 million. I live the life of a millionaire. And it's like, oh, but that's not the truth right now. Like, I don't live the life of a millionaire. Mm. So I was posting something on Instagram earlier, and that I had that thought where I'm like, oh, shit, am I telling people right now to live fake lives? That's not what I want them to do.
Uh-huh.
So I just – that just –
yeah.
Your comment there triggered that thought.
I know that thinking, right? That if you see it, or is that like visualizing success?
Yes.
And therefore having
success?
So like
vision boards and stuff like that. That's totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So the people taking photos at the sign is are they visualizing?
No, they're not visualizing anything.
They're literally.
they're just literally, I mean.
I mean, this is where we are, right? I'm getting on an airplane somewhere last month far. I was in Rwanda.
Yeah.
And now there are people getting on the plane for the first time. It's always fascinating to watch, right? First flight. And there are people who do this every day or every week. Regardless, lots of people are just taking pictures outside the plane, right? And they're getting these images of like, a door of a plane, a window of a plane. Now, in my sort of, I kind of have a very critical, judgmental self, I'm going, oh, people, You know, it's nothing. It's not, that photo doesn't matter. I mean, maybe who's in the photo. If only you weren't alone, that'd be nice too. But it's not about the object behind you. You know, it's really, maybe it's about that smiling face. But it just seems like everybody thinks the object behind me is what you really got to see. You know, I made it here. I'm in this thing.
Yeah.
And I often think like this is part of our immaturity in a way with technology. And then the self-expression that comes with that technology or the platforms that we currently have.
Yeah.
And so that brings me back to this Instagram idea of like, there's a performance going on.
Yeah, well, I think, I think everyone wants to be seen and heard, and social media has made it so much easier for now, right?
Right.
It's like,
it's the language
it's
we like, speak.
Yeah. And it's this whole idea of like, okay, I went on a plane, but if I don't share that with anyone, did I really?
Right? If a tree falls.
If a tree falls.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So if I now take a picture of me on a plane for the first time and 100 people validate that, then, oh,
really?
Great. Like I really, this experience really, really happened. And 100 people have told me that it really happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to steer away from when I do Instagram nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to be doing things for the validation of others.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Got it.
And I think you can tell. I think you can tell when you're on Instagram, like, oh, someone's just authentically sharing, or someone's sharing because they want likes or they want,
Yeah. Although so much stuff just happens. Like, I actually never looked critically at that which I share on the internet and tried to do the same analysis that I'm doing for others on myself. What would I find, right? Like, I completely put up the possibility that I may only share when I'm having a good time. Now, does that then say that I don't have any sad moments or struggles in my life? Maybe, to some observer, right? If I could put a disclaimer, I'd say like, these are just mostly little moments where I'm laughing about things, you know, because I do.
You can't put that disclaimer.
Yeah, I could.
You could.
That's true. I also get depressed. Here's my website.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be nice if people started sharing more and more just like the real struggles.
Yeah.
And I do try to do that nowadays in whatever it is that I'm sharing. I don't try to hide my struggles.
Mm-hmm.
I never feel like I have tried to hide them. I do think sometimes in the past, maybe I've sugarcoated them.
Well, some of it's private.
But...
Right? I mean, some of it is for you and loved ones around you, maybe, but not...
Yeah, but I also feel like for me personally, the more I've shared... the more I can move through it as well. And also, I hear back from people who are like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Or, oh, I've been through something similar.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really like sharing my struggles.
Sure. I know this. And yeah. And for reasons that I can't put into words at the moment, I appreciate that. Like, if you're sharing your struggles, I'm listening or watching, as it were. I used to do a lot of sort of these comparisons of like, well, or not comparisons, I think it's, well, here, I'll describe it. I am annoyed over not having enough work that I enjoy or something like that. Let's just say, no offense to my current employers, I'm having fun. But let's say it's that. And then I meet someone who, especially through my work, whose family is extremely sick, like multiple members, and they're all relying on one person for income. And then I say to myself, oh, what am I annoyed about?
Right.
You know, this person has real problems. And I have done that as long as I can remember. Sometimes it used to help me to say like, I have a pretty good life. I have a pretty good life. The only hard part is that I would get disappointed in myself for being sad or not satisfied because I was always comparing. And I still do compare. I act like it's past tense. It still happens.
Yeah.
You know, and that was something that therapist could point to, whether or not it ever changes anything in me, could say, like, you often basically say that your own struggles are not struggles.
Yeah.
Or your own sadness is not, you're not allowed.
Yeah.
Because there are people in worse situations. I mean, yeah. I grew up, you know, we all grew up with a lot of that. You know, in Portugal, people would say, like, oh, you know, got to eat all your food because people in Biafra.
Yeah.
You know, that was always the comparison in Portugal for some reason. And because there was a famine there at one point. Or the Ethiopia, as it were. Yeah. Anyway, so I grew up with these comparisons. And I would say to myself, yeah, don't. You cannot say that life is bad because mm-hmm. look at mm-hmm. how people are suffering and look at this violence in the world. You don't have that. And I still don't quite know how to get out of that other than when I sit with friends from such places that those friends whose families are relying on them. And when they talk to me, they never make me feel like you have everything.
Yeah.
We can talk about problems and disappointments, even though we live in different parts of the world and incomes are different. Yeah. But we can still understand
each
other.
So why can't you just pivot into the gratitude of not having, do you know what I mean? Like, this is the energy that, this is how I speak, okay? The energy that you used in putting out the words of like, who am I to complain about how my life is right now? Like, there's people who have, you know, who live in a war zone or who don't get food every night. Like, who am I? Like, right? The energy in those words, what if you just pivoted that to like, I am so grateful that I have food on a plate every night. I am so grateful that I never have to beg for food. I am so grateful that I can come home and I have a roof over my head. I am so grateful that I can take a warm shower every night.
Mm-hmm. The things
that
I learn...
that doesn't minimize or take away the fact that there are people who are struggling, right?
Maybe not. Right. The thing to be able to separate, which I don't know, I would have to learn, is not to immediately follow what you just said with because. I am so grateful that I have a warm shower because I know so many people don't have a warm shower. It's a habit
that
is ingrained.
Sure. And the reason you can be grateful for that is because you know that, that, right?
Okay.
So that's okay.
I don't have to feel guilty?
Oh, no.
That's very hard to get.
I know.
I eat
but
guilt
what,
for breakfast.
What has guilt brought you?
Oh.
Nothing, right? Like, no, seriously, like, no, yeah, please answer me. What has guilt brought you? Anything good?
The occasional good joke.
Right.
But that's about it. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Self-deprecation.
Exactly. And is self-deprecation a...
useful tool for humor?
It's a useful tool for humor. Yeah, but, you know...
I
just... I am doing a stand-up course.
Ooh.
So it freaks me out. Like, I'm very terrified of this. Yeah. So I'm taking a stand-up class. And my challenge to myself is to not do self-deprecating humor.
Okay.
I want to do positive humor.
Okay. I would like it if you did both.
I want to
try.
No,
but different people have different specialties. Yeah. So yeah. I know like it's very like mainstream or an easy choice, but I think Conan O'Brien is doing one of the funniest podcasts I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot of podcasts.
I've heard a few episodes of his.
And his thing has always been, even if it wasn't podcast, self-deprecation. And he's been saying, people keep stopping him in our current climate of, you know, don't be so negative or don't be self-deprecating or don't insult. I say our current climate. We're trying to be more considerate of the kind of language we use, which makes sense. But... it often results in Conan O'Brien being kind of not criticized, but people go, don't say that about yourself. Because he always talks about his thin skin and excessively long limbs and so forth.
Yeah.
And strangeness. You know, he loves to rely on his strangeness. I love his strangeness, of course.
Yeah.
But I also love hearing him make fun of his strangeness. It's fun. But people will react oddly and they'll say like, don't do that. And Conan's like, but please let me do this.
Yeah.
You know, come on. You know.
Yeah.
But no, I think that it's an interesting exercise, which could become, you know, more than an exercise, obviously, to say, all right, I could do that, but here's what I'm going to try instead.
Yeah.
And see what I can do with it. And something fun, really fun might happen.
We'll see. It might be a big mess, but.
No. I mean, I've thinking of all the stand-ups I've ever seen, and plenty didn't rely. Maybe actually self-deprecation is an easy crutch in many ways.
Yeah.
Although some people can be artists in major ways with it. So I think that'll be interesting. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just Look, I've spent a huge, most of my life, probably, putting myself down.
It does take a lot of time.
Why are we doing that? That's what I want. Like, that's kind of like what's in my head right now is like, why am I doing that? And it has not brought me any joy. It has not right. given me millions of euros. I did not become the next Oprah, you know, by putting myself down. Mm-hmm. So I'm really just, yeah, I'm really challenging that idea for myself where it's like, is that really necessary? And I really feel like in our society nowadays, or at least amongst my group of friends and the people that I know, my peers, it seems to be a thing that we really turn to a lot.
Mm.
A lot. Mm. It's like we're all having dinner and we all had great days. But for some reason, when we all sit down together, like, oh, how was your day? We all find a reason to complain. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Why can't we just be like, actually, I had a great day. But for some reason, we all feel like, no, let's not show each other how good we have it or how good we're doing or how great we feel because it might make the other person feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, that's, at least that was always my thought behind it. It's like, oh, I'm not going to show you how happy I am because I don't want you to feel bad.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Don't forget others don't have what you have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's... Yeah. Why can't we show them, why can't we be the role model to our friends or whatever of being like, inspire them?
Mm-hmm.
No, great. Things are great. Things mm-hmm. are great. And you can have that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see it. I hear it. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a bit of a rant.
It's a good rant. No, I think I think there's also ways to go about it that perhaps have been healthy and unhealthy, obviously. Mm. So, you know, I just thought of my grandmother. My mm-hmm. grandmother was a person who, up until her last days on Earth, could easily laugh about things she did. Simple things.
Yeah.
I forgot where I left my keys. Why do I always do that? And she would sit there and make herself laugh. Like, I was ironing and then what was I doing?
Yeah.
You know, and she used to get so much joy. It wasn't for anyone else, really, but I used to love it. If my grandma was laughing about herself, like in the corner, I'd be like, what happened? And she'd be like, oh, I left, oh, you should have seen the cake I made or something, but they were all delicious.
Yeah.
But so I don't know if that's 100% self-deprecation, but there was a joy in it.
But that sounds more, that doesn't
self-acceptance
sound.
Self-acceptance in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that sounds like more positive. She can laugh about herself, right?
Yeah.
It's a different thing if you're sitting there in the corner going like, I'm so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I often say that when I'm biking somewhere and it starts raining and I'm late anyway. And I think, if you'd been on time, you idiot.
Right.
You know? That's usually the third, fourth word. If you'd been on time, idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'll work on removing those words.
No, you don't have to do anything.
I don't have to do anything.
You take what you want. But this is what I'm currently in the process of. I just notice how often, like when I walked in and you said like, how are you?
Right.
And like my first instinct was to go, I'm fine. Yeah. But it's like, no, actually I'm great.
Yeah.
I woke up today and I feel great.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like so far, everything's going great.
Sure. Okay.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it depends on where you are. America's a little famous for positivity above all.
Mm.
And I say above all. And I say above all because plenty of you out there listening know of this moments where it's just positive people. And you know of moments where it's like people who are, a shit eating grin. It's kind of like, you know, it's, you're putting a front up. That goes back to how we started. And then there are cultures that are more like, if I look at Portugal, there's a sort of, this thing's not going to work out. I'm okay, but you can complain. Yeah. And I think here there's that old, don't be too proud.
Yes.
Although there's so much clashing of traditions happening here because there's also a culture here of people who do have money and now show it.
Yeah.
But it's more famous here for don't show it.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting to watch. But I definitely was raised with a more not that we were Calvinists, but I guess we were Catholics, so so it's like don't do that. Don't boast. I still, I guess for different reasons, but I still really admire modesty. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I love a person who does great things or feels great but doesn't dip into that, what's the opposite of modesty, The opposite of modesty.
The opposite of modesty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's I understand.
Boastfulness
what you mean.
Or, yeah. Or yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying run around the town and yell how wonderful you are.
Unless that's how you feel.
No, but even then, like, I'm just saying don't put yourself down when you don't have to.
Yeah. That is should be an achievable level of.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like that.
I see it. I'm starting to understand what this positivity coaching is. if I didn't before, I'm getting a better idea. No, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, in a way, the road that brought you to positivity coaching specifically.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And in the middle of all that, in 2017, you pick up a microphone.
Yeah.
Or put up a microphone in your house. In your living room and you also say, I want to use my voice and this is going to be a podcast.
Yes. Yeah. And that really came about in a sort of like crossroads at my life. Cause I was super unhappy in the full-time job that I had and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I was looking outside of myself and seeing all these women that I knew who I thought, wow, one, they seem so confident and so strong and like what they want out of life. How do I get that? And so that's how my podcast started, because I wanted to talk to them and I just wanted to suck all of their knowledge out of their brain so that I could also become this woman that I was seeing around me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how those conversations started.
And I mean, those conversations started that way and continued for upwards of 14 episodes or so. All people that you already had in your life?
No, most of them, yes. But it was also a beautiful opportunity to approach people that I didn't know and that I admired.
Yeah.
So, that was really, it was really nice. It was really nice to be able to be like, hey, I have a podcast.
Right.
But really, it's more like, I really want to get to know you.
Sure. And the mics can add to that if people are open to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also nice, I would say, listening to the podcast and the world we currently live in, if you take advantage of this, we can, the way we, in the past, we would spend time listening to an interview with somebody influential or famous in the publishing something or producing something to the masses. Those were people that were always targeted for interviews. But nowadays you can, of course, take someone who you know from your everyday life or an acquaintance and sit with them and really have a conversation of the caliber that, well, you in the old days we would have needed. No, this must be a movie star or this must be a famous author. And actually, maybe some of your friends are future famous authors. But it doesn't matter. What matters is you can stop and talk to them and ask questions you've never asked before.
Yeah.
And share it with a bunch of people.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
It is.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I sort of feel like it's good to have people and podcasts with those people who remind us that that is still a very beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Because I also see what's happening in the world of podcasting. I've been watching for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is we go back to old traditions, fame and we put people on pedestals. There's something about humans. And I think there's, again, a healthy admiring, and then there's something else. And that something else is both are happening.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that the other kind is still happening. The long conversations with people from your everyday life or indeed people you didn't know but you wanted to know. And if you're sucking their talent and inspiring selves, I think that might be okay.
Yeah.
Just leave some for them, you know.
Yeah, don't take it all.
That seems like an odd horror film that won't go far. Yeah. Like, I do podcast interviews and I take your talent afterwards.
Yeah.
Could be a whole show.
Could be.
On Hulu.
Netflix.
Yeah. No, it's too good for Netflix.
Sign me up.
Is there such thing as too good for Netflix? I don't know.
Yeah. Wait, you're not a fan of Netflix?
I am, but I have this underlying thought that most anything, both really good stuff and some real, did this get made?
Kind of stuff
goes on there. So in that sense, there's hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get there. We can get there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this was my foray into getting to know you a little better, Joanna, and hearing about the work that you're doing. I mean, there's something coming up which you don't have answers to, but is fascinating, which is you're making a move in your life, if I may.
Yeah.
How long now in Amsterdam?
12 years.
12 years. Yeah, that's a good chunk. And it is very much your home. I mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. This is the thing.
You're moving to New Zealand.
Let's go right to that. I'm moving to New Zealand. But growing up, I was quite used to moving around, right? So when Alex said, "Okay, let's move to New Zealand," I was like, "Yeah, great, I'm ready. I have no worries about this move because I'm so used to moving around." But when I thought about it, I'm like, "Oh yeah, wait, actually, I've been here for 12 years now."
Yeah.
So how am I still really used to this? I don't know. I never really feel like I made Amsterdam my home because I came here with the idea of like, oh, I'll leave in 6 months. And then 12 years later, I was still here.
Yeah.
But I think every year I was like, maybe this is the year I'll leave. Maybe this is the year.
At some point I had scribbled questions, and of course I like to throw them out immediately. And I had scribbled, how important is place to you? But then after I wrote it, I didn't know what I quite meant.
Not important.
No. Because there are people who say, I have to get out of here. Even this fine, fine city. There are people who I've known who move here and say like, yeah, it's all right, but I got to go.
Yeah.
Or they hit these walls. The one-year wall, the four-year wall. I'm writing a small pamphlet. It's going to come out soon. The you're not from here experience.
Right.
And all the things that comes with it. And there are always people who like it or don't like it here.
Yeah.
In their mind, they're like, well, at some point I got to go.
Yeah.
And some of it is very simple, which is family. I got to go be where my family is. But that's not.
No, that's not my case at all.
Yeah.
No. I think.
Yeah.
For me, it's always been about the weather.
Oh, yes. This is in my pamphlet.
Yeah.
Your tribe.
I really just the weather, Amsterdam people. Weather. I'm just over it.
Yeah. Even with the warming, which might make it even worse.
I'm sorry. Like right now, it's May and I'm wearing my winter coat.
I know it is.
It's ridiculous.
Yes. But we will hit a month this summer that it'll be unbearable, actually. It skips right to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So in New Zealand, you'll get a different kind of weather.
Yes.
Yeah. Does nature come with that? Because you're going to get a lot of nature. Is nature part of what you seek? Because whether you want it or not,
it's going to be there. I think, I think as I've gotten older, I do. I always talk about this idea of like, I need space for my mind. And so living in a city, I always feel very like constrained.
But that's not to say
that like if I lived in a city, but like in a building that's high enough that I'm looking over, like then I feel like I have space. Or if I live near a park and I can. Look out at trees. But then the other thing, which is really funny, is like if there's too many trees, then I feel again.
Oh.
Right? So like I need, I don't know. I need space.
Okay.
I don't know.
So it seems like you'll get some.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think New Zealand has a lot of space.
I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds very interesting. And then via either the podcast or the Instagram.
Yeah.
We'll get to see and hear about it. Yeah. And as you've said, it won't be necessarily about you, although if it is, great, but it may also be about us.
Well, no, it's not necessarily like, no.
I don't know, I did that. I'll take that out.
No, you can keep it in.
Okay.
It's not like, it's not about you, but it's for you. Does that make sense?
Maybe.
So in the past, when I was posting, it was about me and it was really for me, right? It was like me. Right? Like, here's my life. This is what I did today. This is what I'm liking.
I'm trying out these products.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm over that because that only serves me, basically.
Okay.
Right? So now whenever I post, it's about how is this serving you? What can you learn from it? How am I inspiring you in some way? Why am I posting this? Is it because I want to make myself feel good? Or is it because I think you can get something out of this for yourself?
Okay. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
You're looking at me like, is that makes sense, right? nodding, podcast nod.
Yeah.
All right. Joanna, thanks for coming. Thanks for being here and letting me lead this conversation in all kinds of directions.
Yeah, it was super fun. Thank you.
And I'll tell people, the Pondercast will have a link in my show notes, and including straight to your website as well.
Yeah.
JoannaPonder.com.
Yeah.
And we never know when we see each other, so I do...
No, maybe we'll see each other in New Zealand.
Sounds good. That's it. That's it. That's all cool. I need. Yeah. It's about time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You're out there sometimes, no?
Could happen. Yeah. So I do wish you all the best, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Music. Thank you.